We live in a little township called Dorrigo, which is about 330 miles north of Sydney, and it is about 20 miles back from the coast, right up on what here we call the New England Tablelands. So where I'm talking to you at the moment, I'm about 2,500 feet up, and yet from the end of my road I can look at the sea. And we have almost an English climate rather than an Australian climate. Our garden, for instance, is full of roses. Some of the transcription has been actually done on my laptop in the middle of absolutely nowhere. We did some in the middle of the Nullarbor Plain. The last guy I'm doing is going to be done probably sitting in a rainforest about 50 mile away from here. People looking over my shoulder as I do it in public places must be wondering what it's all about. So Gloucester Rugby Club, in fact, have a readership beyond anything they could imagine.
You've transcribed a number of interviews. One of them, I know, was with Bill Hook. And we're actually going to hear a little bit about one of those clips that you would have transcribed.
For non-rugby listeners, he's dropped a ball, kicked it as it's hit the ground, and the thing has gone through the air, something in the order of 70-odd metres, or yards in English. That's a pretty incredible feat.
I knew time was up. 3-0, Cornwall. A draw would have taken us further forward. We had a chap called Stan Waters playing for us in the centre, who's also, you could kick a ball, but he never took them for the county. They wouldn't, they always wanted, I always took all the kicks. I saw this free kick coming and heard it, and I turned my back and walked towards the goalpost. I said, "Go on, Stan, you can have this one." "I don't want it," he said, "I don't want it." They were all calling me up, the Gloucester players, and I had to go. And I had to ask the crowd to move. When you play Cornwall down at Redruth and Elfer Corner, they get on the goalpost to watch the game, never mind anything else. And they were sat on seats all round the ground, on seats inside, and there wasn't any run-up for this thing, you know. And the referee had said to me, "This is the last kick of the game. The game's all over at this kick." And I placed the ball, and I can remember it as if it was yesterday. I thought, "Bill, you can't kick it from that far, especially with a run-up. It was round a dippy in the ground, a dippy quite like that, you know." And I thought, you can't, boy, you can't. Your only hope is a drop goal. You can drop goals, go on. And I came back a little bit further to get me out the dippy, nearer the touchline. I could have only been a yard off the touchline. And I let go bang with all I had and hope for the best. And it went through the middle all the way with, quite truthfully, 20 yards to spare. I was as shocked as anybody. Nobody cheered, nobody clapped. There was dead silence, except for me 14 pals who were on the field. Otherwise, it was dead silence.
Well, that's just one of the many anecdotes that you will have both heard when you've been recording the interviews, and obviously David has been transcribing those. David, what have you enjoyed most about transcribing memories such as Bill Hook's?
I suppose it's because I am now privy to those guys reliving their own memories and their own past, and you're sort of sitting there with them. So when Bill was telling that story, he transported himself back, goodness knows what, nearly 60 years, say, not quite, and he was doing it again as well. I will have done, by the time I finished, 98 of those sessions, and there is just countless instances of where you know that the guy has transported himself back to what he's telling you about. And what I hopefully try to do is turn some of that colour into hard copy.
You mentioned Mickey Booth. We're actually going to hear from him next, talking about the passion and the feeling about the club. This is another one of the interviews, I imagine, that you've transcribed.
It's a very important interview. Out of all of them, Mickey Booth is one of the more important ones because of the breadth of the history of the club he covers in all his stories.
Well, Mickey Booth was described as the general. Partly, of course, because his name was Booth, I imagine, but also because he was the organiser and the creator in a team which was very pack-dominated. The forwards were very, very strong in those days, and the scrum half position was absolutely critical to the game. He was a very much admired scrum half.
I just enjoyed every minute of it. It's a rugby city, isn't it? This road here on a match day is electric, isn't it, with all the pubs overspilling with people with a pint in their hand and their cherry white shirts and everything. And the atmosphere is special out there, I think. It gives the team a lift, doesn't it? And some of the great clubs we play as well. I mean, I was up at Leicester, all the ex-Leicester players who I used to play against. We were reminiscing last year when they came here. We were up in the box and David Matthews, He's a life member up there now. He's a farmer, and he's Mickey, come here, come here. He said, see that Gillette sign over there? I said, yeah. He said, that's where I flattened you, wasn't it? And I said, yeah. I said, I can still feel it too. And I went, baby, I said, see that soap advert down there? And he said, yeah. I said, that's where I got Burton to flatten you. And he just laughed.
I mean, it's clear from hearing just some of those memories, just what fond recollections the former players that you've spoken to really have. David, it's been really lovely to talk to you. You are going to be coming to the UK and to Gloucestershire next May.
Indeed, yes. We've been to Gloucester Archives a few times. We're over in the UK next May. I fully intend to turn up and terrorise all these people in person. And I'm really looking forward not only to meeting Malcolm, John, Dick and the ladies and gentlemen at the archives, but actually to seeing this King's Holm place as well.
Just to finish up then, with you both, Malcolm and John, what immediately is coming up next for the project?
The Heritage Day week is coming up. And on the 9th of September, King's Holm is included in that. And so people can go along to King's Holm that day. And unlike normally being charged a small amount for a tour of the stadium, it'll be free on the 9th of September. And up on the top floor of the stadium, we've put a whole lot of displays about famous players in the club. We're also inviting people to bring stuff in for a sort of antiques roadshow on Gloucester rugby memorabilia as well. One of the things that has come out of the project is that the club was so taken by the enthusiasm of the former players who came along to our event at the end of last year that in fact they've started a former players association. The first meeting of that former players association is going to be before the game against Leeds on the 11th of September.
And will you be at the first home game?
We certainly shall.
Are you off at Exeter too?
Are you off to Exeter, John?
Oh, yes.
So, predictions then for the game?
I think we differ slightly on that. I'm supremely confident. I think we will run Exeter off the park.
I think it'll be a narrow victory for Gloucester. I'm hoping...